out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 8th of April, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sir Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, the big news today is the government's white paper on regulation of the internet. They are claiming that they're going to have a new regulator, an official independent regulator, who is going to be responsible for ensuring harmful content is not available on social networks, file sharing sites. They've even said search engines, so people won't even be able to find what they're looking for if they get their way. But it does look like it will take about 4 years before they actually get this regulator. There's another 3 months of consultation to be gone through as well. Hopefully they won't impinge on free speech too much. Obviously you don't want harmful content on there as far as children harming themselves are concerned, as far as grooming is concerned. But we also don't want free speech to be restricted. So we'll just have to wait and see what they do there. I'm of the opinion that holding the platform owners responsible for what people say in them is rather like holding a pub landlord responsible for what his customers talk about in his pub. It's not the pub landlord's responsibility to police what people talk about. It's people's own responsibility to police themselves. If they say something that offends the people in their circle that they're talking in, then they'll soon be told not to talk about that, or they'll be ejected from that social circle, surely. The people that complain about people talking about subjects that they don't want talked about are usually the sort of people that have inserted themselves into that conversation anyway. They have deliberately sought out a nationalist website so that they can then claim to be offended by it. Or they will seek out people on Twitter or on Gab or Facebook and then complain about them. It's very rare that you'll find nationalists going on to leftist sites and trying to engage them in debate. And these leftists don't try to engage nationalists in debate, really. They just report nationalists for speech that they don't like. They can't stand to hear an opposing point of view, basically, which is, well, it is the very definition of the word bigot. So we'll really have to wait before we can do a proper study on what the government's new white paper may entail for us. As I say, it will take about 4 years for them to get this regulator up and going. That's how long it took for them to get Ofcom going, if that's anything that we can go by. Anyway, the first news story that I've got for us today is a bit of a light-hearted one, really. A hospital has been forced to apologise to a man in a dress. A hospital has been forced to apologise to a transgender woman who visited a ward dressed as Mrs. Claus at Christmas after the nurse mistook her for a man and exclaimed, "Ugh," when corrected. Chantelle Saunders, who is transitioning from male to female, said she was left very, very upset by the way she was treated by staff at Royal Devon and Exeter Hospital. The 34-year-old claims a nurse replied, "Ugh, it's a man," when she wished her Happy Christmas while wearing an Anne Summers Mrs. Claus outfit. Now, what is this transgender doing going into a hospital dressed up in an Ann Summers outfit? I mean, Ann Summers makes sex toys. So they were obviously dressed up in inappropriate clothing, and it was quite obvious that it was a man. I mean, they were very lucky that this nurse wasn't male. If the nurse was male, I mean, he might well have turned around and punched this obvious biological male dressed up in kinky clothing. I mean, you don't expect to be basically assaulted, because that's what this was. I mean, I would take it as an assault if a transgender came up to me in perverted clothing while I was at work trying to wish me happy Christmas. Is that the right word for it? An assault or harassment? It's definitely an invasion of your personal space, isn't it? Apparently, this Chantelle from Exeter visited the hospital on Christmas Eve last year in full makeup, wig and costume to spread some festive cheer. Well, why wasn't the transgender going to a gay club to do that? Why wasn't the transgender going somewhere where they would expect this get-up that they were wearing to be appreciated? I mean, why would they think that that's going to be appreciated in a hospital, of all places? But she, they refer to this biological man as she said she was disgusted after the nurse believed she was a man and then replied, ugh, when she informed her she was a transgender woman. I mean, the nurse obviously thought that it was just somebody in drag, I guess. In a letter, the hospital told Chantelle that the nurse thought she was male because you had a full beard and were dressed in male attire. So this is, and when you see the picture of this transgender, it's quite obvious that they are a man. I mean, they're very square-jawed. They don't look female at all. In actual fact, it looks like a mockery of a female. I mean, this transgender is trying to pout for the camera, and it looks absolutely ridiculous because it's got a big, broad male chin. A broad male chin is associated with lots of testosterone as well. So they've probably got a deep voice. And it's entirely believable that they did have a beard and that they were pretending that they didn't. Continuing with the article, but they have now apologised, that's the hospital have now apologised, and said they are keen to speak to Chantelle to see if they can explore how we can resolve any remaining issues she has. I mean, the hospital should be saying, what the hell do you think you're doing coming into a ward dressed like that? How did you get onto the ward anyway to harass the nurses? Chantelle said she has never had a beard even before she began her 3-year transition and blasted the nurses' actions. Really? A male without a beard? Somebody that's a man that's never had any stubble? I mean, that's obviously nonsense. I mean, all men have stubble. To claim that she never had a beard, or he never had a beard, even before he started taking the hormones and all the rest of it. I mean, that just shows you that this person is dishonest, and they're being dishonest in what they're saying here. But because they're a transgender, they have transgender privilege, of course, and everybody has to go along with what they say. They said, I was very, very upset. I'm a transgender woman transitioning from male to female. Well, hang on a minute. If you're actually neither properly male or neither properly female, you're not a woman, are you? You're something else. You're something in between. You're a he-she. They said, I went to visit my friend in hospital on Christmas Eve on one of the RD and E ward. She was having an operation and there was a nurse in the cubicle. I said, Happy Christmas. And the nurse replied, ugh, it's a man. I said, no, I'm a transgender woman. And she said, ugh. The nurse probably thought that they were joking, to be quite honest, claiming to be a woman when it is obviously a man. I mean, why do these people insist that we call them something that they're not? I mean, it's not like they're saying that we're fighting to be referred to as transgender women. I mean, that would be fine. In actual fact, legally, they should be forced to declare that they are transgender women, and you should be able to, I believe, you should be able to have them up on criminal charges if they don't tell you that. I mean, you imagine how offended you would be. You could be suicidal if you suddenly discovered that that you were actually dating somebody that was transgender. You're actually dating somebody that's of your own sex, that you've been intimate with. I mean, that's the sort of thing that could cause somebody to want to commit suicide. I mean, it's horrific. I should imagine it's most men's worst nightmare is to find out that somebody that they've slept with is somebody that was a man and that had been through one of these operations. And so why isn't it that they are being forced to actually say that they're transgender? Why are they insisting that everybody else has to pretend that they are something that they're not? I mean, they are delusional. And everybody else's rights are being trampled on. And you think that you have a right to be heterosexual. You have a right not to have homosexuality forced upon you. And that's what this is. If they don't have to declare that they're transgender, then they're saying that they can force homosexuality onto you. And because of this, people, I should imagine that this causes problems between men and women anyway, because men will have this fear at the back of their minds that this person may not actually be female. Some of these transgenders, they unless you know exactly what you're looking for, they can be pretty convincing. So you're going to have this worry in your mind that unless this girl that you're interested in is absolutely fantastic looking, they may be a male in disguise. I mean, it's a horrific situation to be in. And, you know, I do have compassion for these transgenders. They've obviously got serious issues. They've got a condition there where they dislike their own body, but they need help. It's not that everybody else should be going along with their delusion. That just destroys everybody else's rights and places them up on a pedestal. And it also, I should imagine, causes people to really resent them and really, really resent what they're actually doing. They're harming their own cause by being like this. Well, the next news story that I've got for us today, this continues on this theme that we've talked about here before, about the way that the first world is now turning into the third world, and a large part of that is the outdoor defecation. The fact that the imported creatures from the third world prefer to poop outside rather than inside in a toilet. And the last time we looked at this, we cited an interview that was with these Africans in Africa saying, well, why do you do it? No, well, because we prefer to do it like that. It's much more fun. It's enjoyable to poop outside. Basically, they're like when you see a dog that's just had a crap and he's quite happy and he skips off up the road. I should imagine it's a similar thing to that these non-whites feel crapping outside. But basically, all this unhygienic pooping is bringing medieval diseases into the first world. And one of the worst places for this is now California. You know, it used to be one of the most beautiful places in the world that lots of people wanted to go and visit. And it's now horrendous. 25% of America's homeless people have now gravitated to California. Infectious diseases, some that ravaged populations in the Middle Ages, are resurging in California and around the country and are hitting homeless populations especially hard. Los Angeles recently experienced an outbreak of typhus, a disease spread by infected fleas on rats and other animals in downtown streets. Officials briefly closed part of City Hall after reporting that rodents had invaded the building. Of course, typhus, they say here, it's a medieval disease, but there was a big problem with that during the war in Europe. And the way to get rid of typhus is to use cyanide on the bedding and on the clothing. And of course, that's where this idea that Jews were gassed with cyanide came from, because the Germans had these delousing rooms, these delousing equipment, in order to delouse the clothing and the bedding of the people that were coming into the camps. And we haven't heard of it since then. And now the fact that this is there in Los Angeles, it shows that conditions there are as bad as conditions were in Europe at the end of the war. And you just think about that, as bad as when half of Europe had been bombed flat and there was no medicine, there was people starving, people dying of typhus and dying of diarrhea. And we've now got the same situation in California. People in Washington state have been infected with Shigella bacteria, which is spread through feces and causes the diarrheal disease Shigellosis, as well as Bartonella quintana, which spreads through body lice and causes trench fever. Again, another one linked with the war, trench fever. Hepatitis A also spread primarily through feces. And of course, you often hear about hepatitis and you think, well, that's spread through infected blood. That's spread through shared needles. But apparently, no, it's spread primarily through feces. And it infected more than 1,000 people in Southern California in the past 2 years. The disease also has erupted in New Mexico, Ohio, and Kentucky, primarily among people who are homeless or use drugs. Public health officials and politicians are using terms like disaster and public health crisis to describe the outbreaks, and they warn that these diseases can easily jump beyond the homeless population. Our homeless crisis is increasingly becoming a public health crisis, California Governor Gavin Newsom said in his State of the State speech in February, citing outbreaks of hepatitis A in San Diego County, syphilis in Sonoma County, and typhus in Los Angeles County. And of course, syphilis and gonorrhea, we've now got super versions of these diseases that are being brought in by the non-whites from the third world. They have particularly high propensity for these sexually transmitted diseases, particularly blacks. Blacks are about 10 times more likely to have sexually transmitted diseases than white people are, particularly thrush and obviously AIDS, syphilis and gonorrhea. In actual fact, if you want to find out more about the differential rates between these sexually transmitted diseases among the races, a good site to check that out on is AMREN, Jared Taylor's site. They do a report every year, basically collating the information on that and showing the differences between the races and the sexually transmitted diseases that they have. Continuing, he said typhus, a medieval disease in California in 2019. The diseases have flared as the nation's homeless population has grown in the past 2 years. About 553,000 people were homeless at the end of 2018, and nearly one quarter of all homeless people live in California. So that's one quarter of all the homeless people in America are now living in California. And I guess that would be because of the good climate there, because it's warm all year round. But you've also got all the non-whites, Mexicans, the mestizos, the people that have invaded America across the border. They're going to flock there as well, of course. So, and then because I mean, it's bad enough that we have to look after white people that are homeless. There should be no white homeless people, but to have non-white homeless people as well to look after, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And over here in Britain, we used to have a magazine that the homeless people used to sell. It was called The Big Issue, and you used to see white people selling this magazine, and it would help them basically with paying for a roof over their heads for that night. And now you don't see white people selling The Big Issue anymore. It's all non-whites that are selling The Big Issue. And you think, well, how can foreigners come to another country in order to beg? What are they doing here begging from us? Charity begins at home. If their own people are not prepared to give them charity, what on earth makes them think that we should be giving them charity? You know, any of these non-whites that are on the streets and they're not working, they should be deported. They should be deported. They're certainly not an asset to the country. They're not bringing anything into the country, like we're told, this big boost for business and a big boost for the economy. They're just a drain on the economy. They're thieves, and they're taking up the charity from the white people that really should be going to our own fellow whites. There's no way on earth that I would give any money to one of these beggars, one of these non-white beggars. I would to a white beggar, but you don't see them anymore. You just don't see them because they've been crowded out by the non-whites. And this particular initiative that was set up to help British homeless people is now just being abused by non-whites that have come over here. And I dare say there's probably something similar that's happening over in America, particularly in California. The diseases spread quickly and widely among people living outside or in shelters, fueled by sidewalks contaminated with human feces, crowded living conditions, weakened immune systems, and limited access to healthcare. And basically, what it looks like is one of the shanty towns that you see in South America or that you see in South Africa, where people are just living in these makeshift shelters. And then, I mean, they're not even crapping in the rivers here in California. They're just crapping on the streets. And it is just like the third world. And that's actually what they say here too. The hygiene situation is just horrendous for people living on the streets, said Dr. Glenn Lopez. Well, it's not just for people living on the streets, is it? It's for the people that do have homes that have to walk through those streets, that have to walk through this human waste that's all over the place. Continuing with the article, and this is Dr. Glenn Lopez speaking, a physician with St. John's Well Child and Family Center who treats homeless patients in Los Angeles County. She says, it becomes just like a third world environment where their human feces contaminate the areas where they are eating and sleeping. How could that have happened? How could America, a first world country, have turned into a third world environment? What could it possibly be that has turned California into a third world environment? It couldn't possibly be the people from the third world that are there. Now, could it? I mean, this is what nationalists have been saying all along. If you bring people from Africa into Europe, it will just turn into Africa. If you bring people from Mexico and South America into America, it will just turn into Mexico and South America. If they're not able to provide a standard of civilization in their own countries, among their own people, they're going to do nothing but destroy the civilization in our countries, the civilizations that we've built, because they're not capable of maintaining them. They behave like the birds and the beasts. They would rather crap outside. I mean, we did a whole program on the link between white people and sanitation a while back, showing that right the way throughout history, going back thousands of years, white people have always built sewage systems and clean water systems. And they have none of that. You know, the clean water systems that were built by the white Aryans in India, the Indians over there don't use them today. They just crap everywhere. It's got more human feces in the fields and on the streets than anywhere else in the world. Possibly similar in Nigeria. And yet white people, going back 5,000 years, have had these sewage systems that we've built. And the Indians that are there now in India, those sewage systems were all built there, but they weren't capable of maintaining them. They weren't capable of building new ones or keeping the ones that were there working, and they just crap it wherever they need to go. And it's the same in South America. They just crap wherever they need to go. And now that they're in America, they just do exactly the same. And now the white people that live in California are at risk of being contaminated by this. And this is what they say here. Those infectious diseases are not limited to homeless populations, Lopez warned. Even someone who believes they are protected from these infections are not. I mean, this is just a health time bomb waiting to go off among the normally healthy people of California that have to walk through these streets. Well, let's move over to France for our final news story here. And this is about the beard babies, the so-called child migrants that we are supposed to feel so sorry for, these non-white children that have managed to make their way all the way over from Syria to North Europe, all on their own, without a family there, and they're just desperate for help. They're these poor war orphans that we must allow into our country because we'd be so mean if we didn't. Well, one of these poor baby war orphans has turned out to be 47 years old. Two men recently attempted to claim asylum, stating that they were both minors, until fingerprint tests revealed that they were not even close to being under 18. The two men presented themselves to officers at a police station in the commune of Angoulême in southwest France earlier this week, with both claiming that they were 16 years old in order to take advantage of measures aimed at helping underage asylum seekers, Charente Libre reports. And this is a problem because it's not just it's not just the financial benefits that are being given to the wrong people. It's that these adults are put with white families, kind white families that normally foster white children, and they get put with these kind white families where they then take advantage. We had one over here in Britain that turned out to be a terrorist. There was one in Germany that again turned out to be a terrorist and started stabbing people in the train. We've had another one here in Britain that said that poor child refugee was trying it on with her, that was sexually attracted to this woman who was supposed to be his surrogate mother. So these people, these kind people that should be looking after white children, they have their lives ruined by these beard babies that get sent to them. Then you've got the children in the schools that they get sent to. We had a school here, I think it was in Leeds a while back, and the kids ended up having to leave the classroom. And this adult asylum seeker that had been put with them, he was making inappropriate gestures to them, inappropriate contact, trying to find out where they lived. And you think, well, these adults are taking part in the sports with these young kids as well. There's a huge risk that's involved to white people. Before you even get to the idea of the amount of money that's actually being misspent that they talk about here. One of the men who claimed to be from the African nation of Mali was revealed to be 21 years old, while the other man, who presented police with a birth certificate from Guinea, was revealed to be 47 years old after his fingerprints were connected to a passport he had used to enter Spain. So he was 47 years old, and he thought that he could get away with pretending to be under 18. Now, what does that tell us? Well, that tells us that a huge portion of these non-whites that are pretending to be under 18 must be over 18, because he wouldn't be doing this if he didn't think that he could get away with it. And to be 30 years older and still think you can get away with it, I mean, there must be at least 50% of them that are claiming this. It must be over 18. And I should imagine that there's actually a lot more than they find, because if they're 21, 22, when they actually do these tests, they probably still let them get away with it, saying that they're under 18, because they could say, well, they just look a little bit more mature than an 18-year-old. So it could even be 75% of these so-called children that are claiming to be underage asylum seekers. It could be false. And then when you think about it, if they actually have got genuine ones, if they've got genuine under 18s, then there's a very high likelihood that they're actually child soldiers. They've actually been trained up as jihadis in Syria. Again, like the one that we had over here in Britain that set a bomb off on a train. He was a child jihadi that had been sent over from Syria. You say, well, what about Africa? Well, what about all the child soldiers that they have in the Congo? And if they make it over here and say, well, if I go back to the Congo, I'll be turned back into a child soldier, they can use that as an excuse to get asylum over here. And again, you've got very, very dangerous people that are more mature than their age, that are trained to rape and kill, that then get placed with a nice white, kind white family that just want to help kids, that just love kids. And they have their lives ruined by them again. The problem of fake underage migrants in France was highlighted last year when police in Montpellier managed to bust a network from the Ivory Coast who were forging documents in order to help adult migrants claim asylum as minors. So this is going on at an industrial scale. It isn't just migrants throwing their passports away and then claiming to be children. They've actually got networks that are forging documents for them. Prosecutor of the Republic of Montpellier, Christophe Barre, noted similar age exaggerations to the men in Angoulême, saying recently an isolated minor supported by the county council of Hérault had said he was 17 years old. The department had doubts. Extensive verifications have formally confirmed that he was, in fact, 32 years old. In total, the migrants who used the forged documents were able to defraud French taxpayers to the sum of nearly €1 million in benefits that they were not qualified for. In other countries, there have also been prevalent cases of adults pretending to be children, such as in Germany, where almost half the underage migrants, 49% in the city of Hamburg, were shown to be adults in 2017. And actually, the German national average that turned out to be actually well over the age of 18 was 43%. Half of them are frauds. And as I say, probably another 25% as well, because they're probably 19, 20, 21, and they let them get away with pretending to be 18. Well, there are a couple of other news stories that I'd like to just bring to your attention. There's a really good one about a Russian family that have been granted asylum in Poland. They were living in Sweden, and they were a Christian family, and the children got taken off them because the husband lost his job and the wife was ill, so he couldn't afford to pay for his family. So instead of helping the family out, social services went in there and stole the children and handed them over to a Muslim family. Obviously, just absolutely unbearable that must have been for the father and the mother to have their children stolen from them like that. So they responded by taking the children to Poland and requesting asylum, and they were granted it. So good on Poland for that. We've also got some good news from Italy, our favourite European leader over there, one of our favourites, Matteo Salvini. He's called for chemical castration of rapists, and it looks like they are going to put that into law so that these people that have been found guilty of rape, or child rape in particular, they will be given these hormone blockers so that they are, in effect, castrated, so that they can't actually be any threat to the rest of us. So good on Salvini for that. Okay, that brings us to the end of the show today. Thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.